Well, I appreciate each one of you being here today. I'd like to look at this thought that I've wrote on the board, life. Is it vain? I'm at a point in life that I can ask myself the question, has it been in vain? If you're just getting started and maybe exploring and experiencing the part of life of marriage and having children and raising children and beginning to earn a living and all of those kind of things, it's a little different when you get, as some people probably would call me, over the hill, and you begin to look back and consider, has life been vain? Is it vain? So I look around myself. I had to think of last Sunday was Easter Sunday, and I wonder how many people looked on Christ's ministry in the week following his crucifixion and thought it was in vain. I wonder how many of his disciples wondered if all of the efforts that they had put in and Christ had put in to ministering to people, the healings that had been done, the miles that were traveled, all of the efforts. I wonder how many of them thought maybe it was all in vain. And I think it's good for us to consider ourselves and ask ourselves a question, life. Is my life in vain? What does it mean for something to be in vain? I believe it means that there's been no real satisfaction. The end result that we wanted to get didn't really happen. We've all experienced those things to a certain extent in our life. We've had those disappointments where maybe we tried to meet another person's expectations. Maybe it was an employer. Maybe it was a family member. And maybe we tried to the best of our abilities to meet expectations. And in the end, we were told that it wasn't satisfactory. It's not good enough. And it's always a balance when you're a parent of knowing when to tell your child that's not good enough and to tell them, thank you for trying to do what I ask you to do. It's always a real tedious balance because there are many times as a parent that you want to tell them, that's just not going to cut it. You're going to have to do that again. And as my children got older, I said that to them more, because I had higher expectations for them. But a little child, we don't have near the level of expectation. So we many times applaud their efforts, even though they're not very successful. But now that we are adults and we are looking at life, it's so important for us that our lives not be in vain. We don't want to work all of our lives and end up with nothing. We don't want to put an effort into a relationship like a marriage or something and find out that someone really don't like us anyway. We don't want to put our efforts into any kind of organization or anything and realize that it was misdirected. We want it to count. We want it to mean something. So, I've been challenged in maybe you might say, inspired for this thought by looking on and observing those that I feel like are reaching out for things that are vain. There's really not going to be any, it's not going to be the result I feel like that they want. So I'd like to go to the book of Ecclesiastes. I think it's pretty obvious in the passage that we're going to read here of who the writer was. At the top of the page in my Bible, it gives the author, and it says their explanation here is doubtful, but possibly Solomon, King Solomon, the son of David and Bathsheba. I would like to say that I believe that this second chapter is definitely Solomon's chapter, something that he wrote. It fits him so well. So I'll begin reading in verse 1, chapter 2 of the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. You know, we like to have a good time, don't we? I've had those times when maybe someone has said on the job, I enjoy what I do for a living, but it's important for me to have a good time while I'm on the job. Sometimes that means that people like to pull pranks, and sometimes it means they just like to have somebody to visit with, and sometimes it just means that they like the sights and the smells and the environment of the workplace. But I've heard people, men say more than once, it's important for them to have a good time while they're on the job. So the writer here says, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. So how, in the long term, how gratifying is something that makes you chuckle? I like to have something that makes me want to chuckle. those things that are funny, those things that are causes us to smile involuntarily. Those are, I don't know, some little rewards in life. But you know, if I have only an appetite for that, and I can't face some of the more fundamental things of life, you know where I'll go? I'll go from one prank or joke or funny story to the next, and I'll live for the sake of comedy. And you know, there's people that just live for comedy today. They can't ever, and it becomes so vain. I think it's good to have a good laugh. It's good for something funny to happen in your life, and whether it's you getting in the back seat of your four-door pickup and realizing that you're not behind the steering wheel, and you know, there's funny things that happens in life. But Lord, help us not to get in a place where we are in such a pursuit of something that'll make us giggle that life becomes vain. He said here in verse 2, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? What benefit is it long? If that's the only thing that I'm focused on in life, how really meaningful is life? If my whole life consists of laughing and making people laugh, you know, it gets pretty hollow. It says here in verse 3, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. He began to search and look for things that would bring real fulfillment, where life wouldn't be vain. I made me great works. I builded me houses. That's pretty substantial, isn't it? I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made pools of water to water wherewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. And I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I believe this is talking about Solomon. I've accumulated a lot of things. I've explored everything from wisdom to livestock. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. And so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eye desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion. This sounds like success, doesn't it? It sounds like that everything that a person could imagine to look on and say, my life is meaningful and my life was worthwhile, and I've been able to achieve and accomplish and gather up and assimilate things here. I've been able to make connections and understand things, and I have everything from entertainment to wealth to whatever you could ask. I've accomplished it. One lifetime, one life period, one man. Surely your life means something. Surely this is not vain. But let's keep reading. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor I had labored to do. And behold, what was his conclusion? All was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. Doesn't sound very good, does it? And I'm here to tell you that you could be, you know, yesterday in our conversation here at the chapel, we heard about somebody that wealthiest man in, I think, the state of Kansas. And I've heard there's, it said that, you know, a name that I could recognize, wealthiest man in the state of Missouri. Well, that'd be quite a status to achieve, wouldn't it? Wealthiest man in the world, you know, that title gets juggled around. You know, one person outdoes another one a little bit, and somebody reevaluates their worth and all of that, and next thing you know, that top person got bumped off, and here's somebody else in that place. This is kind of where the writer was. I think it was Solomon. I think he began to look over all of his accomplishments and all the things that he had searched for and reached out after, and the conclusion was, he came to the point that he said, it's vain. It's vanity. Doesn't really seem to really gratify. Doesn't really seem to satisfy my spirit and my soul. And you know, in the beginning it says that words like, something like, let us make man in whose image? Our image. And Mankind was made to have all of these abilities, and some have explored them to the to some of the greatest potential, and we look on in awe. I do. I can look on in awe at people that have accomplished so much in one lifetime. Talents, abilities, wealth, possessions, the ability to make people laugh, the ability to be a good leader, the ability to have a large herd of livestock and all of that. And God equipped us to have those abilities. And I don't believe He meant for us to abandon them. But there's something else about mankind. That you can have everything the heart could desire, and that's what we just read about. He gathered silver and gold and men servants and maid servants, and there wasn't anything that his heart desired after that he didn't have. And he come down to the point that he began to survey it. He's kind of like where I'm at in life, and I begin to look over where I've come from and where I am now, and I look over life and I have to ask myself the question, has it all been in vain? Is it vain? Where am I in the course of life? And I think it's good for all of us. I believe there were those that thought about Jesus' life and His ministry and were asking the question, has it been in vain? However many years ago that was. This writer said, he looked it all over and he said, it's all vanity, vexation of spirit. Verse 12, and I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? He begins to go into some reasoning, and we're not going to read that this morning. We all have the same senses of accomplishment or fulfillment. We all have to deal with knowing what is the right balance in life. And I'd like for all of us to have enough money to be able to live comfortable in this world. I don't think any of us are doing without food. We all obviously had transportation of some sort, or we wouldn't have been able to get here this morning. And I'm grateful for that. I'm very thankful for those things. A life that is fully consecrated to God still requires food and clothing and housing and transportation. But there's something there that I just said that's going to be the ultimate element, and it really needs to be the focal point in our life, and that is a life that's consecrated to God. In Ecclesiastes 6, in verse 8, it says, for what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? What has the wise? Esteem, maybe? More than someone that don't have any understanding, that don't know the right answer. Let's begin verse 1 in this chapter. He said, there's an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. You know, it's common among mankind for life to end up vain. He said, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it's an evil disease. It happens over and over again. Somebody that accomplishes so much, and then something happens, and they don't get to really, you might say, enjoy it or use it. He says if a man, again, begins to speak hypothetically here, he says if a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many and his soul be not filled with good, and also he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. Did you notice what he said there? If he, even if he lived many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good. If we don't have a relationship with God, we're going to feel like life has been vain. If we don't have that connection with the Lord to know that He is our Heavenly Father, and somehow, in my small part, I'm part of His plan, we're going to feel like life has been vain. I don't care how many million you have. I don't care what your accomplishments are. If we don't have that real solid, stable relationship with our Heavenly Father, it's going to feel like life has been vain. He says, for he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years, twice told, that's a long time, isn't it? Yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? Aren't we all going to rot when we die? Our bodies will. But what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. This is also vanity and vexation of the spirit. Constantly living in a non-reality is vanity, isn't it? Constantly living where the sight of the eyes is not realized. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This also is vanity and vexation of the spirit. That which hath been is named already, and is known that it is a man. That it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? What makes man better? How do we overcome this element of feeling like life was vain? That life is vain. For who knoweth what is good for a man in this life? Who knows what's good? Do you know what's good? To make another person laugh. To make another $1 million. To make another, put another mark on the wall, so to speak, that I have made another level of accomplishment. Is that what it is? Who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? What name has had the most impact on humanity? Jesus. If someone says the name of Jesus, I believe all of us, saint, sinner, atheist, whoever we are, would have to acknowledge that the name of Jesus has had an incredible impact on the world, has it not? Do we feel like his life was in vain? No, it wasn't in vain. Did he need to eat when he was here? It seemed like he did. Did he need a place to sleep? It seems like he slept. I know he was God in the flesh, but it seems like that he lived like a man when he was here. You know, it seems like on a regular basis, I run on to some obscure name of somebody that I've never heard about that lived 100 years ago or 400 years ago, and I run into a name this week of someone I'd never heard about. And he was accused and executed for being an atheist many years ago, 500 years ago, now 300 years ago, I guess, 300 or 400. And I'd never heard of his name. But at the time, apparently, he was quite a sensation for what he said. And the thing, for someone to be publicly executed for being an atheist, that would be probably, you might say, in the news. But I never knew about it till this week. But I've known about Jesus all my life. It's impacted the days of the week. It's impacted culture in all nations. In every place that the impact of Christ has come and been introduced, it's impacted it for good, hasn't it? One of the things that happens when Christianity is introduced in society is it becomes more productive and more prosperous. It follows that. That's not vanity. It's a benefit to humanity. Who knows what's good for man? More achievement, more time to spend in recreation. I've known of people that retired when they were younger than I am and spent the rest of their life in recreational pursuits. I know somebody today that apparently has done well. They retired and moved away from all their family and live in some kind of resort area. And every time I come in contact with them, they have lots of smiles and they wear nice clothes and drive nice cars. And apparently they've done well. I wonder what they think about when they lay down at night. I wonder if they're able to sleep. I wonder if they look back over their life and they think, oh, thank you, Lord, for so many times that you've been there and you've been my friend. Or are they fearful of what might happen if they don't wake up in the morning? I don't know. I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter and notice something that Paul said here in the New Testament, that 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'd just like to interject here that I appreciate you being patient with me and listening. I hope you're not just tuning me out completely, but it's hard for me to go from a thoughtful way of presenting things to one of high energy, so I appreciate your patience if you feel that I'm tedious. I'd like to go to 2 Timothy 4, begin in verse 1. He says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. I believe he's talking about those that would be alive and those that have already passed on. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Not 1 Timothy, if I said 1 Timothy. Preach the word, it says, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I'm thinking about this in respect to the age that we live in. I believe we live in the time that the apostle is talking about. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what happens when we look out and we consider our life and we think it's been vain? It hadn't really counted. Yes, I got a lot of money in the bank, or yes, I've got a lot of trophies on the wall, or I've got a lot of achievements in man's eyes, and maybe I still hold the record for whatever it is, but it just seems to be vain. It doesn't really seem to be helping me. What do people do then? They begin to look for acceptance, and they begin to look for approval, and they begin to look for meaning, and they want someone to say, you're an amazing person, and you're so beneficial. Your ability to set this record has been such a contribution to the good of mankind. That's what they're looking for. He says, there's going to come a time, this is what Paul says, that people won't endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We live in a nation that's founded on a Declaration of Independence that said that we believe that all men have unalienable rights of being able to have life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And whether you agree with me or not this morning, that has been distorted to mean just about anything that you can imagine that it can mean today. People that have done things that are so wrong are yet looking for people to approve and accept. Happiness in our age is acceptance and approval. You realize that? Happiness is not doing the right things. Happiness is acceptance and approval. Meaning in life is acceptance and approval. It's not doing the right things. We can look on and say it's vain. That lifestyle is vain. That method of whatever it is, it's not going to bring long-term satisfaction, but as long as they feel acceptance and approval, they feel validated. Happiness today and the pursuit of it has been defined in our world as everything that the ecclesiastical writer said was vanity. Everything that he said, all of those accomplishments, he said it was just, I looked on it and considered it, it's just vanity. And today, that's what the pursuit of happiness is. More of this and more of that. And the cattle on a thousand hill and all of those things. And we come here to the service to worship God. that's the author of true happiness and fulfillment. That's what I'm here for. I trust that's what you're here for. And when I come down to the realization that no matter what I might accomplish, and I'm thankful for accomplishments, I'm a person that's very easily motivated and interested in accomplishments. And I'm willing to spend a lot of my energies and efforts to achieve accomplishments. My family knows that. If you've worked with me, you know that I like to accomplish things. I like to see things come to completion. But there's more to life than just laying hardwood floors and fixing cars and hooking up vent pipes in the attic. There's more to life than that. There's more to life than making sure all of the weeds are cut and the fence is painted and the cows are healthy. There's more to life than that. There's an element that must be in place, or we're going to get down to the last day of our life and we're going to say it's all been vain. It's all been vanity. It's going to be more than just having someone to pat us on the back and approve us and say you can be whatever you want to be in your head. We love you and we accept you. We want to love souls, folks. I'm not against individuals, but I am very much opposed to the trends in our world today that are leading people down paths of vanity, away from God, away from knowing how to be pleasing to Him. Life will not be fulfilling without God. You can write that down. We're not going to be able to come to the end of life's way and have the approval and acceptance of society, or the approval of the banker, or the approval of anything else, popular opinion. We're not going to have any of that and be able to come down and look at our life like the writer in Ecclesiastes did. He gave us a long list of things that he had accomplished and accumulated in life. And he said, I looked over it all and it's what? It's vanity and vexation of spirit. What would have changed that if he had had a real connection with God? If he did, you know, we have some records of people in the Bible that had a real connection with God, and it had a lot of accomplishments too. We have a man in the Old Testament, his name was Job. He had a lot of accomplishments, and yet he came down to the point that he said the thing that it matters most is that God knows the way that I take. And when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. And when it comes down to the end of the chapter, in the end of the book of Job, we find out that his latter end was better than his beginning. And it was all because he didn't allow his accomplishments to just be vanity. He kept his mind and his heart in subjection to God. That's the only thing that'll take us down to the end of life and help us to feel that we have been fulfilled and life has not been vain. God cannot be God without being the focal point of our life. If we don't put Him in the center of our hearts and our lives, I'm thankful for every one of God's blessings to each one of us here today. I'm thankful for your accomplishments. I'm thankful for my accomplishments. But I want you to know that if I allow myself to get off track and focus on that instead of focus on being connected with God, I'm going to come down to the end and say, it's all been vanity. What has it really been worth? Maybe I could be like Joseph of Arimathea or Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to the point he was willing to lay aside it all because he wanted to be identified as a follower of Christ. Do we want to be identified as what? That's a phrase that gets used a lot in our society today. Do you want to be identified as a Christian today? Or do you want to be identified as the best whatever? I don't know. Fill in the blank. You want to be identified as the wealthiest in the state or the wealthiest in the nation or the world? Or is it most important to be recognized as a child of God? As a servant of God? One that believes that God is the essence of life, the essence of fulfillment. I want to live that way. I want people, they can say whatever they wanted to say about me. They can say, well, he was the best at this or the best at that. I'd like for my children to think I was the best dad there ever was. I would like for my grandchildren to think that I was just the best grandparent that could ever be. But more important than that, I want them to know that I had a connection with God. More important than any of that, because I could go down to the end of my life and everybody could esteem me for some kind of accomplishments, and I could have assimilated people that would applaud and approve and all of that. But if I don't have a relationship with God, I'm going to look on my life and say it was just vain. It didn't really mean anything. So my challenge for us today is, whatever your accomplishments is or lack thereof, don't let that be the ruling factor. Let the ruling factor be, am I connected with God? Have I really got a relationship with Him? Do I really believe it's important for me to have my soul in contact with the Lord? Do I take the time in my meditations to think about how can I be more pleasing to the Lord? Do I pray? Do I seek Him with my life every day? Or am I looking for the pursuit of happiness, and at the end of life will I look back and say, it's just vanity and vexation of spirit? That's my challenge today. I trust the Lord will take our little thought and speak to each one of us today. You pray for me.